ನಮಃ ಪರಮಋಷಿಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ ಪರಮಋಷಿಭ್ಯ ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಅಂತರಾಯತಿಮಿರೋಪಶಾಂತಯೇ ಶಾಂತಪಾವನಮಚಿಂತ್ಯ ವೈಭವಂ ತನ್ನರಂ ವಪುಷಿ ಕುಂಜರಂ ಮುಖೇ ಮನ್ಮಹೇ ಕಿಮಪಿ ಗುಂಧಿಲಂ ಮಹಃ. ಗುರುರ್ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಗುರುರ್ವಿಷ್ಣು ಗುರುರ್ದೇವೋ ಮಹೇಶ್ವರ ಗುರುಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ಈಶ್ವರೋ ಗುರುರಾತ್ಮೇತಿ ಮೂರ್ತಿಭೇದ ವಿಭಾಗಿನೀ ವ್ಯೋಮವದ್ವ್ಯಾಪ್ತದೇಹಾಯ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ನಮಃ. அருணாச்சலவரர்க்கேற்ற அக்ஷரமணமாலை சாற்ற கருணாகரகணபதியே கரமருளிக்காப்பாயே அருணாச்சலசிவ 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 அருணாச்சலாம் அருணாச்சலசிவ அருணாச்சலசிவ அருணாச்சல சிவ அருணாச்சல. கோபமில் குணத்தோய் குறியாயனை கொள குறையன் செய்தேன் அருணாச்சலாம் கௌதமற்போற்றும் கருணை மாமலையே கடை கணித்தாழ்வாய் அருணாச்சலம் சகலமும் விழுங்கும் கதிரொளியினமன ஜலஜமலர்த்தீடருணாச்சலாம் சாப்பாடுன்னை சாந்துணவாயான் சாந்தமாய்ப்போவன் அருணாச்சலம் சித்தம் குளிர கதிரஸ்தம் வைத்தமுதவாயை திர அருண்மதி அருணாச்சலாம் சீரையழித்து நிர்வாணமாசெய்தருள் ஷீரையளித்தருள் அருணாச்சல. சுகக்கடல் பொங்க சொல்லுணர்வடங்க சும்மா பொருந்திடங்க அருணாச்சலாம் சூது செய்தன்னை சோதியாதி நீ உன் ஜோதி உரு காட்டருணாச்சலம் செப்படி வித்தை கற்றி படி மயக்கு விட்டுருப்படும் வித்தை காட்டருணாச்சல ஷேராயனின்மை நீராயுருகி கண்ணீராற்றழிவேன் அருணாச்சல அருணாச்சல சிவ அருணாச்சல சிவ அருணாச்சல சிவ அருணாச்சலாம் அருணாச்சல சிவ அருணாச்சல சிவ அருணாச்சல சிவ அருணாச்சல. குடியிட்டடியரை கொல்லுனை கட்டிக்கொண்டெங்கன் வாழ்வேன் அருணாச்சல. திஸ் வாஸ் த வேர்ஸ் தட் வி சா எஸ்டர்டே. ஜென்ரலி வென் டெவோட்டீஸ் சீக் பிளஸ்ஸிங் ஃப்ரம் த குரு, they will ask for some kind of diksha. You put your hand in my head, bless me, and they also expect some kind of feeling of thrill and ecstasy, joy. But here you will never dare to ask Arunachala for his blessing, because his blessing means killing you. Because everybody is afraid of death. And his blessing is shattering your ego, whatever the ego is holding on to. In Bhagavatam, Lord says, that is how I bless whom those whom I love. If I want to bless somebody, I will see to it that if he is a very rich person, I will make him a beggar. Yasya anugraham icchami, those whom I want to bless, tasya vittam haramyaham. He says, I will plunder their wealth. Make them walk in the streets. Yasya anugraham icchami, tad visho vidhunomyaham. He says, whom I want to bless, his pride I will shatter. Because that is the only way I can bless him. Only then he becomes fit enough to receive the grace. So Muruganar says, how did Arunachala bless Bhagavan? The very first blessing is giving death experience. Who will dare to have it? A fear of death. Here the commentary, they have written the Muruganar's version. Muruganar, while explaining this verse, narrated how the content of this was proved in more than a fair measure in Bhagavan's life itself. Venkataraman, a mere lad who was irresistibly drawn by Arunachala, taking him as his sole refuge, was a picture of total renunciation. Having left behind hearth and home, kith and kin, and a carefree life, with creature comforts. If Arunachala stood mute and immovable, equally rock-like was the disciple's reliance on him. The poetic instinct of Muruganar, who was deeply moved by the apparent rough welcome and treatment meted out by Guru Arunachala, distilled his emotion into a verse. He cheats Arunachala thus. See, Muruganar is speaking to Arunachala. How did you welcome Bhagavan? In what way did you pour his grace on him? Shearing the lad of his tuft of hair. The very first thing that Arunachala did is, when he came here, his head was tonsured. It is symbolic in our culture. When a man is made pauper, we will say he is tonsured. Mottai adithu. So first thing that Arunachala did to Bhagavan is removing his tuft of hair, crowning him with a tonsure, disrobing him and adorning him in a kaupinam. Even his cloth was removed. See, when Bhagavan was in Virupaksha cave, he had only one loin cloth, one small piece of cloth. That also, there was a hole in it. It got torn. So he took a thorn from the jungle and used it as a needle and removed a thread from the same kaupina and got it stitched and wore it. And in that state, Bhagavan says, I lived like an emperor. Because that desirelessness had that freedom. And he had only one towel with lot of holes. See, in this Puranas, the god of Devas, the king of Devas, Indra, he is called Sahasraksha, one with 1,000 eyes. So Muruganar says, Indra himself came in the form of the towel to clean Bhagavan because thousands of holes in it. So Bhagavan used to clean his body with the towel and keep it hidden under a rock. And one shepherd boy was every day watching Bhagavan doing this, and he knew that the cloth was totally in a shattered condition, and he said, Swami, you know, in those days governor was the most respected person. So this boy says, Swami, you know, governor is coming to Thiruvannamalai to have a look at your towel. Will you show him? Will you give him that? Bhagavan said, no, I will not give. So that was Bhagavan's condition when he was living here, disrobing him of his dhoti and shirt and adorning him in a kaupinam, robing him of his money. The welcome feast you provided well after a day of starvation. First day there was no food. And on the third day, in the Patala Lingam, in that thousand pillared rock, when Bhagavan was sitting there, he got that bhiksha that was only a scanty meal of boiled rice soaked in water overnight. Bhagavan says, we don't know how many days have passed. The rice was kept in a dark, dirty plate, and the rice also looked dark. It is impossible. But Bhagavan says, the rice also looked dark, and when Mauni Swami was there, he asked his attendant to give that rice to this boy. So that was the food given to Bhagavan. What did that matter? Muruganar, after stating all this, says, what was Bhagavan's opinion? Bhagavan says, that food tasted like ambrosia, like nectar. Then that nectarine taste is not there now in the bhikshas that you offer here. Bhagavan says, now you will get good food, very delicious food, but doesn't taste like what I got from Arunachala. So, when we invoke Lord's grace, we do not know what we are inviting. We are not aware. It takes away all that you cling to, that you hold on to, and gives you what? Lord gives you His own being, His own glory. So, kodiyittadiyarai kollunai kattikkondengan vaalven Arunachala. That means, realizing the self, you cannot have the personal ego self along with it. You cannot have the ego and have self-experience. The moment you have the Atmanubhuti, your individual sense is no more there. It is erased. So that was the last song that we saw. Now the 25th song, Kopamil Gunatoi Kuriyayanai Kola Kurayan Seithen Arunachala. Kopamil Gunatoi, usually Shiva is pictured as having anger. Even the Vedas, every day, evening, 5 o'clock, we start with Rudram in Bhagavan's Sannidhi. And that Rudram starts with, O Lord, prostrations to your anger. Namaste Rudra Manyava Utota Ishave Namaha. Lord, prostrations to your anger, I bow to your weapon, I bow to your bow, your arrow. These are all there. The anger is focused on your ego. But here Bhagavan says, that is not your anger, that is your compassion. கோபமில் குணத்தோய், யூ டு நாட் ஹாவ் எனி ஆங்கர் பிகாஸ் யூ ஆர் த செல்ஃப். அவுட் ஆஃப் இம்மென்ஸ் கம்பேஷன் யூ ஏம்டு யுவர் வெப்பன் அட் மீ, குறியாயனை கொல. See, the Upanishad says, when the Guru, you live with the Guru, he is carrying a bow, and his bow is the Upanishad, which means the Jnana. And the arrow that he fixes in that bow is the Mahavakya. That means, you don't know when that arrow will penetrate you. The arrow is the knowledge that you are the self. He will not shoot that arrow at you when you are expecting him to shoot. He will do it at the most unaware moment. When you are not at all aware, that arrow will come and fall at you. You will not be expecting it to follow. And Swami came to meet Bhagwan. Very famous Swami came to meet Bhagwan. After taking sannyas, it was his first visit. So in the old hall, when he came to see Bhagwan, he wanted to speak to Bhagwan, and Bhagwan was alone. But there were 5 or 6 people. But he wanted to speak to Bhagwan one-to-one. There should not be anyone else. That was his desire. See, if any desire comes from a genuine heart, it will be satisfied. So naturally, when that sankalpa came, that 5 or 6 people, they were sitting near Bhagwan, they all stood up and went out. Bhagwan was alone. And this Swami went and did prostration and said, Bhagwan, I want to speak to you, ask you some doubts. Bhagwan said, let everyone go. Then this Swami understood that Bhagwan has understood his desire, that he should speak with Bhagwan alone. So he said, Bhagwan said, let everyone go. And Swami said, Bhagwan, already everyone has left. Only I am here. Let that also go. He said, I never expected that. I was about to start a conversation. Before I could start, the arrow fell on me. It's over. It's over. It's actually Swami Chinmayananda. He himself narrated this anecdote. Before he could start, it is over. So Kuri means that lakshya, that focus. The master's grace is like an arrow. Which penetrates your heart and moves out with your ego. Goes out with your ego. And Arunachala's grace fell on this boy, Venkatraman. And here Bhagavan says, Kurayan Shaitan Arunachala. Bhagavan says, to shoot that arrow at me, it is a poetical way of saying, what wrong did I do? It means, what tapas have I done? It only means, what austerity, what penance have I performed to receive your grace? Instead of saying that, Bhagavan is putting it in another way, to shoot your arrow at me, what wrong did I do? Kurayan Shaitin Arunachala, what deeds of merit have I done, is the real meaning. But here, in an affectionate way, Bhagavan is telling Arunachala, among many devotees, many are seeking you, many are wanting your grace. desiring for your grace, praying for your grace, but you are heedless to them. While I was not at all seeking you, I was going and coming to my school, studying in the school, playing football, even going to temple only to play, not to worship. At such a stage, you spread your web of grace and caught me in it, and took me near you and swallowed me, finished me off like a spider catching a creature. You caught me, chindi tarulpada chilandi pol katti sirayittu undanai Arunachala. So what merit did I do? What tapas did I perform to receive thy grace? Kopamil gunatoi kuriyayanai kola. So when some outwardly, see, many of Bhagavan's relatives, they came to see Bhagavan. There was one boyhood friend of Bhagavan. His name was Mani Ayyar. His brother Rangan is also very close with Bhagavan. You know, he was called as Rogue Mani, Pokri Mani. Enna solva rogue danne solano Islam. He was called a rogue in his in the village. So his mother one day was accompanied by her son, was going to Tirupati temple. On the way they came to Thiruvannamalai and they had a visit in Arunachaleshwara temple. Then she was a very close friend of Azhagammal, Bhagavan's mother. So she said to her son, "Shall we go and meet our Vengatraman, who is living in Virupaksha cave?" This Mani, he said, "I don't want to come and see him. They say he is living like a beggar, wearing only a loin cloth. These are all mere deceptive vesha. It is mere deception. I don't want to come and see him. If I come there, I will catch hold of his ear and bring him back to Madurai." So his mother was afraid of her son. So she went to Tirupati and came back. Again they landed in Thiruvannamalai. Then she said, she asked, inquired in the temple, and she came to know that Bhagavan is living somewhere in the Virupaksha cave. She told her son, "You stand here, I will go and see." She went to the Virupaksha cave. This person, Mani, who was standing in the temple, suddenly felt, "Why not I also go and see what has happened to that boy?" So he also rushed behind, followed his mother. By the time his mother has reached there, she was looking at Bhagavan and weeping. And she felt all the philanthropy done by Sundaramayyar has amounted to this. Living like a beggar, whole body full of dust, no food. And she was awestruck to see Bhagavan. Bhagavan was not talking also. By the time her son came, and he wanted to look at his friend, but the moment he saw Bhagavan, he didn't see his boyhood friend, he saw Arunachala himself sitting there. As Humphrey said, his body was like a dead corpse, but through his eyes, God was radiating terrifically. He fell flat before Bhagavan, started weeping. Bhagavan simply kept quiet, no response. He then took his mother and back to her native village, and he returned to Thiruvannamalai and often came to visit Bhagavan. One day he caught hold of Bhagavan's feet and said, "You have to rescue me." Bhagavan was not at all talking at those times. He will again and again plead with Bhagavan, "My mind is not at all quiet. I have done so many sins. Please rescue me. Pour your grace on me." And he caught hold of Bhagavan's feet and Bhagavan said, "Mani, leave, leave. Vidu, vidu." In Tamil, Bhagavan said, "Vidu, vidu. Shiva, Shiva, na iru." That is Bhagavan's, it's a common usage. Bhagavan said, "Keep quiet, Shiva, Shiva." You know, that person, he started dancing. He started, in delight, he was screaming, "Bhagavan has given me upadesha." From that moment onwards, he started chanting Shiva Shiva, Shiva Shiva, Shiva Shiva, Shiva Shiva, Shiva Shiva. That Nama got mingled with his mind, with his breath, with his blood. His whole system was filled with that two-lettered mantra, Shiva Shiva, Shiva Shiva, Shiva Shiva. And in his old days, he used to do Shayana Pradakshana, roll around Bhagavan's room, chanting Shiva Shiva. Vishwanatha Swami has written about him in some old issue of Mountain Path, where Vishwanatha Swami has written, he looked so radiant. Bhagavan did not directly give him Upadesha. He simply said, "Keep quiet, Mani, leave me, Shiva Shiva." And that was enough. And that Shiva Shiva simply possessed him, caught hold of him, started reverberating within him. So the grace wants some vehicle. Sometimes Guru's anger also can become a blessing. Kopam. Sometimes death also can become a blessing. In all the Puranas, God has only one way of blessing certain devotees, that is by killing them. See, one attendant of Vishnu, two of them, they got a curse from Vaikuntha, Jaya and Vijaya, because they did something wrong to saints. In our tradition, even if you do something wrong to God, it will be forgiven. But if you do something wrong to a saint, it is unpardonable. So they did not permit these four sages to see Vishnu because they were the gods, gatekeepers. They said, "No, you cannot go." They cursed them, "You will be born as asuras, as demons." Then Lord appeared there and they said, "Lord, see, we did our duty but we got this curse." Lord said, "Does not matter. Without jnana, you cannot attain me. Even if you remain in Vaikuntha, if you have vasana, you have to remove that. So the vasana is hidden in you. So you have to take birth. But tell me, I will give you two choices. You can come to me by love. You can come to me by fighting with me. But if you start loving me, it will take a long period to come. But if you start fighting me, you will come quickly. I will kill you and redeem you." They said, "It is better to come back soon. So we will take the second path. We will fight with you." Born as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, constantly they were hating the Lord outwardly. See the mystery of it. See, when we look at the world, certain people are good people. And certain people we say they are all terrorists, they are all bad people. But who knows what is hidden in them? We only see what we do, what they do outwardly. The ultimate truth is everyone is the self. But outwardly, certain persons, they are very noble, very devout. And certain people, they are all, outwardly, they are all evil. But Bhagavatam says this, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, creating so much trouble in the world, lived ever in samadhi. Because there was not a single moment when they were not thinking about Vishnu through hatred. So that was their path. So ultimately this, why this story is narrated, we cannot judge anyone in the world. In spite of their good or bad, you have to see that they are the Atman, they are the Self. There your work is over. If you start analyzing what is the nature of that person, what he is doing, what, how is his mind working, you will not be able to see the Self in him. To see the Self means not to see the Upadhi, not to see the limitation, not to see the body, not to see the mind, not to see the person. Because the person is only an appearance which always, either good or bad, it hides the substratum. It hides the inner being. It clouds the inner effulgence. So here Bhagavan tells Arunachala, you have given me your grace. I cannot say I deserve, but out of your boundless compassion, you have given me your grace. This is the verse that we saw today. Kopamil gunatoi, kuriyayanai kola kurayan seithen Arunachalam. Another verse, next verse is Arunachalam. கௌதமர் போற்றும் கருணை மாமலையே கடைக்கணித்து ஆழ்வாய் அருணாச்சலம். திருவண்ணாமலை, the presiding sage perhaps is Gautama. Sage Gautama. This Gautama is connected with Tiruchuli also. In Tiruchuli also he is the presiding sage. And in Tiruvannamalai also, Gautama's ashram was in Tiruvannamalai. Near Arunachaleshwara temple, on that side, there is that Pachayamman Kovil. Near that, Gautama's ashram was there. Bhagavan used to narrate that story with so much devotion, tears in his eyes. The Divine Mother, she got separated from Shiva. Once she got separated from Shiva due to some omission. And she came to earth. And first she was the Annapurneshwari in Kashi and did tapas there. After that she came to Kanchi as Kamakshi. And ultimately she came to Arunachala and received initiation from Sage Gautama. She was coming here to the ashram of Gautama. When she came, Sage Gautama was not there. And Bhagavan narrates that incident. Gautama's son Shatananda was there. And all other sages who were there, they saw a divine being entering the ashram. The whole, all the trees in the ashram, they were flowering. There was a strange light everywhere. Seeing Divine Mother coming, this boy understood this is not an ordinary woman. Divine Mother herself is coming. He ran in search of his father, who was gathering flowers in the forest, and there he went and screamed, "Father, Amma has come." And when he is saying that, when Bhagavan is narrating this story, when Bhagavan says Amma, Bhagavan's eyes will be full of tears. With choked voice, he used to narrate this, this boy running to his father and telling him, "Divine Mother has come." And sage Gautama comes and he saw Divine Mother. She has come as a disciple to this sage. And she is asking him, "Teach me, give me the Upadesha so that I can become one with Arunachala. So that I can merge myself in Arunachala." Her name is Aruna. And she merges with Achala. So Arunachala. Aruna means one who has that color of the dawn. Color of that golden hue, that sunrise. With that color, she was called Aruna. And she asked Gautama to initiate her. That is the spot where they met. Gautama gave her the Upadesha, Mahavakya Upadesha. And she did a pradakshana to Arunachala and merged with the Lord. So that is the story in the Puranam. So Gautamar Potrum Karunai Mamalaye. Bhagavan is remembering sage Gautama and says, "O compassionate hill, you are being worshipped by sage Gautama in the Yur." Gautamar Potrum Karunai Mamalaye Arunachala. Compassion incarnate in the form of a glorious hill of might, praised and hymned by sage Gautama of great penance, turn thy gracious glance upon me, rain thy grace and govern me. Gautama, sage Gautama, has worshipped you with hymns, Vedic hymns. You pour forth your grace on me and redeem me. And the next verse Bhagavan says, Sakalamum vilungum kadiroliyina mana jalajamalarthi darunachala. All these songs are a prayer for that upadesha, for the teaching. See, the taught, the disciple, the seeker has to invoke the teaching from the master, because the master has no desire to teach. He has no one other than himself to transmit. So unless the disciple's yearning provokes, invokes, kindles the grace in the master, that thing will not come out. You have to worship and invoke it, kindle it. With devotion, you have to bring it out. So here, Bhagavan is showing us the way. Jalajamalarthi Arunachala. Usually in Tamil people, they will say Salasamalarthi Arunachala. It has no meaning, Salasam. Jalajam is a Sanskrit word. Jalajam means, Jala means water. Jam means bond. The lotus that is born in water. The heart lotus. And here, the disciple is seeking the master. Master, make my heart lotus blossom. Show thy grace and make me recognize the inner being, the inner self. Blossoming of the heart means locating the heart center. See, the heart center, which Bhagavan says is otherwise not visible. Usually I used to feel it's like when you go in a flight, the aircraft, when it moves in the ground, it has wheels and wings. The wheels are used only for this runway. But once it takes off, you will see another machine working just before it takes off. Like that, your japa, your meditation, your sadhana, your reading, your using of the mind, intellect, senses, body is all like the runway. Once the heart center starts operating, you know you are ready for the takeoff. How can we recognize that center is usually asked. You will recognize only when it starts working. Otherwise, there is no place where it is located. It is not an object. It is the power of the grace. And once it starts operating, you are able to recognize the spurti which Bhagavan says. The spurti. That is the word of Bhagavan, pulsation of I within you. Otherwise not visible. When devotees, they read Bhagavan's talks or who am I, they ask, I ask who am I, nothing comes out. What to do? The only thing we can say is, go and sit in Bhagavan's samadhi. Something will happen someday. You have to wait with patience. You cannot make grace awake. Your devotion has to invoke it. In Upanishad, there is a story. A sage, his name was Satyakama. He had an ashram of his own, where his family was also there, his students were also there. And they were all learning Vedas with him. And there was one disciple, his name was Upakosala. And the guru was not at all teaching him. He was teaching all other disciples. They all got the vidya that they were seeking and they went back. This boy was all his life, whole life serving the master, living there. And this master's wife, that Guru Patni, one day asked her husband, this poor child, day and night is serving you, and you are not teaching him. Why are you not giving him also the knowledge that he is necessary for him? The Guru said, keep quiet. He didn't give any reply to his wife. Keep quiet, he said. And one day he went for a long tour, this guru. And these sages, they have three fires. Ahavani Agni, Garhapati Agni and Dakshina Agni. So every day they have to worship these three fires. And if suppose the person is not there, his wife can do or his disciples can do. So this master told his disciple, you take care of these three fires. I am going for a long tour. I will come back only after certain months. So he went away. And this boy with so much love was taking care of the three fires. After a few months, this master came back. And he saw that this boy, Upakosala, was no more the same boy. He was radiating. So much of radiance was there in his face. And the master asked him, dear child, who gave you Brahmavidya? He's asking, dear child, who gave you self-knowledge? He said, master, nobody gave me. But you shine like a realized being. Oh, you know, this fire I was worshipping. See, the answer is very peculiar. The boy says,
Master, the fire I am worshipping, you know, one day it was not like this. This is the answer. That was the answer. The fire that I am worshipping, Master, one day it was not like this. Then what happened? The Master asked. There was some being in it. It arose before me and told me, Prano Brahma, Kam Brahma, Kam Brahma, Akasho Brahma, something like that. It told and disappeared. That's all. Prano Brahma, Kam Brahma, Kam Brahma. That is the Upanishadic mantra. You have to go into it. Brahman, that absolute truth, is mere space. Absolute truth is joy. Absolute truth is within you as prana. This is the teaching, nothing else. And the boy got enlightened without being aware what has happened to him. And the master comes back and recognized that the seed is sown. He is carrying the fire in his heart. Now he said, come and sit before me, I will teach you. After having a glimpse of the experience, the master gives him, transmits the Upanishad Vidya. So grace, which makes the heart blossom. The heart blossoming is a poetic expression. Don't imagine a flower in your heart. No? Blossoming of the heart means you are able to hold on to the awareness, or you are able to feel the pulsation of I within you. Spurtim sada bhavayan. Shankaracharya also uses that word. That spurti is visible for you. That I is visible for you. Many devotees, they got that blossoming merely by sitting in the presence of Bhagavan. Even now it happens. Just they are sitting in Bhagavan's sannidhi, something very deep happens to them, and later on they recognize that they are able to trace this I thought to its source. Find out what is this I. The inquiry is kindled within them. The fire of self-inquiry arises, is kindled within them. You are able to do Atma-vichara. You are able to go deep into the heart. Find out what is this I. The feeling I gets separated from all other thoughts. As you churn, uravukol naatti urugam vaangi kadaya munnikkume. Upper Swami, in one of his Devaram, sings, uravukol naatti uruga vaangi kadaya munnikkume. It's a beautiful Tamil. You have a contact with him, and that contact is the pillar in which you tie the rope of love and start churning, and slowly the butter appears. Now you don't know that process of getting butter because we have mixie. But that is the old way. You have to put the rope in a pillar and that mattuk enna solva churning rod in that butter mill, in that curd, and churn. And the butter is separated. Like that, when the Lord's grace descends on you, the inner being wakes up and the inner mantra starts operating within you. The real mantra, not the mantra that you chant. Namadeva Jnaneshwar in one of his songs says, I was chanting a nama, but soon that nama disappeared and I found deep within the heart Hari sitting and chanting a nama. Lord himself is repeating a nama and I am able to hear it. Jnanadeva Mauna Japamala Antari. There is no Japamala outside. The Japamala is within me and Lord himself is chanting his nama, his own nama. And the name of the Lord is Aham, 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 I. The non-verbalized I. The movement of that first person. And you are able to look at it, pay attention to it. Meditate. Go deep into it. And once you touch that center, something opens up. A new dimension opens. Jalajam alartid Arunachala. Bhagavan says, Arunachala, let that flower open within me. The Amrita Nadi opens. Bhagavan in some other place says, all the nerve centers, they carry only emotions. There is one nerve which goes from the heart to the head, which generally remains closed. But the moment this self-inquiry is activated, that road opens. That stream opens. You are able to receive everything. When you open the Upanishad, it is clear. When you open the Gita, it is clear. When you listen to Vedanta, it is clear. That we can see. When you listen in a satsang, all the yoga postures will come. The listeners, you know, it is a feast for my eyes. When I see that, people will be sitting like this, listening, looking there, looking there. First, they are not able to listen. The inner ear is not opening. And slowly, something goes within. They sit like this. Slowly start listening. And slowly, the back becomes erect naturally. Nobody is training you. And close your eyes. You can clearly see a road opened. A stream of light going from the bottom to the head. Some flower has opened within. Something is blooming in the heart. Jalajamalartid Arunachala. Bhagavan says, oh Arunachala, make the heart lotus blossom. Sakalamum virungum kadiroli. And when the heart lotus opens, a effulgence comes from the heart which swallows the body, which swallows the mind, which swallows the ego, which swallows the world, which swallows everything. Sakalamum virungum. It swallows everything. You see, the word Atma, you know the word Atma. Usually we use self, self, self. But in Sanskrit, the word is Atman. That word means that which swallows. Atti iti Atma. Atma means that which swallows everything. In deep sleep, you can see that how it swallows. When you go to deep sleep, it swallows the mind, it swallows the body, it swallows the ego, it swallows the world, and remains all alone. Advayam, non-dual. So too, when the inner lotus blossoms, the light issues forth from that center. The effulgence of the self swallows everything. Sakalamum virungum kathiroli inamana. Jalajamalarthi idarunachalam. Swallowing in all its entirety the seemingly real world of dualities by the beaming light of wisdom. Kathiroli inan. The form of effulgent light of knowledge, Arunachala, the son of supreme, Manajalajam, the lotus of the heart, totally enveloped in the darkness,
அலர்த்தீடு அருணாச்சலா. லெட் த லைட் ஆஃப் தை விஸ்டம் மேக் இட் அன்ஃபோல்ட் அண்ட் ப்ளூம் ஃபோர்த் அருணாச்சலா. கதிரொளியினன் பகவான் இஸ் காலிங் அருணாச்சலா ஆஸ் தி இஃபல்ஜன் லைட் ஆஃப் நாலேஜ் அண்ட் ஒன் ரே இஸ் இனஃப் ஃபார் யூ டு வேக் அப். One ray from that sun is enough for the heart lotus to bloom. And when the flower opens, the honeybee will enter. In another verse, Bhagavan says, you are not the honeybee. Don't wait for the lotus to open. You are the sun. Your light alone can make it open. So make it open. You alone are responsible. This question of whether the egg came first or the hen came first, like that, whether the grace came first or awakening comes first. Bhagavan is of the sure opinion that grace has to happen. Only if you show grace, the heart will open, O Lord. You cannot tell us, be like this, be like that. You make us ripe enough to receive thy grace. You make me do self-inquiry. You make me do atma-vichara. Jala-jamalarthida runachara. Let me be aware of that center in me where I can experience you, the heart center. Unless that center is located, Atma Vichara will look only theoretical. Book, everything is very precise, very clear. And Bhagavan also says, very simple, too simple, Aye Atisulabham. And in the last song, Bhagavan says, grace is necessary. Arulum Venume. Anbu Poonume. And Bhagavan shows us way, show devotion, practice devotion, worship him, plead to him so that the grace will wake up. And once the grace makes the heart blossom, the first lakshana of that is outwardly, you are able to participate in satsang. To be with the master. You are able to understand deeper things, which otherwise, even if you read, you will not understand. I have seen professors teaching Vedanta in university. They do it like any other subject. Like any other subject, they teach all the Upanishads, Brahma Sutra, everything they teach. We should not put that example, but Shankaracharya says, Yatha karas chandana bara vahi bharasya vetta natu chandanasya. The donkey carries sandalwood in its back, but it is only a weight for it. Its fragrance is no use. Yatha karas chandana bara vahi bharasya vetta natu chandanasya. So too, unless that experience, a taste of it comes, these are all mere theory, mere books, of no use. But the moment grace wakes up, you have the experience that you are the most precious thing. I've heard an anecdote when sannyasi, he had a house, small ashram-like setup. Usually, you know, when we go away from our house, we will close all the doors, windows, everything, close the almirah and go out. But when we come back, when we are inside the house, we will open. the doors, everything. This Swami used to do reverse. Whenever he is in the house, he will keep the house very safe, closed. When he goes out, he will open the door, everything. Somebody asks, what are you doing, Swami? You are doing reverse. And Swami said, see, the only precious thing in this house is me. So when I am here, I have to keep it closed. When I go out, nothing is there. So I just open it. So the greatest treasure that has happened to you is your own existence. Thedad utranal tiruvarul nidhi, says Bhagavan. Without effort, without seeking, you have got a great treasure. And the treasure is your own awareness as I am. You have been ignoring it for many, 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 many births. Paying attention to everything from an atom. Electron, neutron, proton, even you go deeper. And searching everywhere in the galaxies. Traveling to other planets. This is what Bhagavan calls in next verses, Jeppadi Vittai. Mere illusion. Hypnosis. Waste of time. Jugglery. After that you find you are where you are. Even if you go to moon, you will have fight there. Go to Mars, there also the same problem. The same mind you are carrying. So traveling to the space or traveling inside the atom, anoho aniyan mahato mahiyan atmasya jantoho nihito guhayam. The Upanishad says, you go to the most smallest thing and to the infinity, nothing will happen to you unless you go deep into yourself. The seeker, the person who wants to seek, the person who is seeking. One devotee asked, Bhagavan, suppose if I go to heaven, to Vaikuntha, what will I see? Bhagavan said, you will see Lord Vishnu lying there. Can we talk to God? Sure, why not? Like you are talking to me, you can talk to him. Suppose Lord likes me so much, what will he speak to me? This devotee asked. Bhagavan said, if he is pleased with you, he will tell you, inquire who am I. Wherever you go, you cannot escape from yourself. You cannot jump out of yourself. This is the simple, certain fact. Why not do it now, here? Why not pay attention to that center here and now? What is this eye? Who is looking through these eyes? Who is hearing through these ears? Who is smelling through the nose? Who is tasting with the tongue? When dreaming, who is seeing the dream? In deep sleep, who is there? Ena rupam, rasam, gandam, shabdan, sparshansha, maithunan, etenaiva vijanati, kimatra parishishyate. Etadvaitat. One who is seeing the form through the eyes, hearing the sound through the ears, tasting through the tongue, smelling through the nose, dreaming. The Shruti somehow wants to take you inward. It tells you, what is happening in the dream? In a dark room you are sleeping. All the lights you have put off. And from where the light came. Even a blind man will dream. There is light inside.
Nobody is blind. You cannot lose that eye. The inner eye you can never lose. And that dream, that light is there. And what is that light? Somehow it wants to take you away from this waking state. Because we are so much gripped, imprisoned by this waking state, we are not able to put even a single step into the other plane. So the Upanishad is trying hard to take you, make you transcend to that plane of dream where you see light. Esha Purusha Swayam Jyotihi. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, there you see that you don't need an outer light. Light is within you. The inner light makes you see everything. You don't need these eyes to see. You are seeing the dream without eyes. You are hearing in the dream without ears. You are smelling without nose. You are tasting without tongue. And the entire intelligence is condensed in deep sleep. It becomes one mass of intelligence. One singular entity of intelligence which has no ego. Hence, when you wake up, you say, I did not know anything, I was not aware of anything, but I was happy. So in the deep sleep, in the dream and waking state, there is a continuing thread, a stream of light, a stream of effulgence which is pure intelligence, awareness. And that awareness is your self. It is your own existence. And that awareness, existence, effulgence, peace, wholeness, fulfillment are all synonyms. It is all synonymous to I. So when you seek the I, that one mantra, if you hold on, hold within, that I will reveal this divisionless space, this boundless space within you. The real nature of Arunachala will be known only when the I is known. When Bhagavan one day was, in those days, from Bhagavan's old hall, Arunachala was visible very clearly. So Bhagavan was looking, gazing at Arunachala. Without winking the eyes, he was looking at Arunachala. One devotee asked, Bhagavan, are you looking at Arunachala? Bhagavan said, no, I am looking at myself. That means Arunachala is nothing but the self. You can never be away from Arunachala. Somebody from somewhere from United States, they came to Bhagavan and said, we have to go back. We will miss Trivannamalai. Bhagavan said, Trivannamalai is within you. If you know the self, you are always in Trivannamalai. If you know who you are, wherever you are in Arunachala. You can never be away from Arunachala. If you fail to recognize it, remaining here, you can travel everywhere. So that Arunachala you can never miss. Arunachala, which is yourself, you can never miss. And this is the Upadesha which
Arunachaleshwara gave Bhagavan. And he is constantly there. Somebody asked me, now Ramana Maharshi is not there in body, how can I surrender to him? 2 days back, somebody asked the same question to one of Bhagavan's devotees. We want a living guru, he said. And this devotee said, guru alone lives, you don't live. He is the living principle. Do you think you are living? And Bhagavan, even before 1950, was bodiless. We only, by some optical illusion, saw some body in him. So even after 1950, he is the same presence. The presence which was initiating devotees was not his body. Somebody asked Bhagavan, you say the jnani has no mind, but when we ask question, you answer. Bhagavan said, the center from where the question arises, from the same center the answer also comes. This is Bhagavan's answer. So the center which is yearning for realization, the same center is giving light, is igniting. So that center is there, Bhagavan's complete presence is there. Don't have the illusion that Bhagavan is no more here. The entire ashram is run by Bhagavan. It is not simply a faith. With firm conviction and our own experience, we say, it is not a faith. You need not have the faith. We don't demand your belief or faith. If you want to see just like seeing a person, you can see, provided you are receptive and stay here sometimes, you will see that Bhagavan is fully here. He is behind every movement. And Bhagavan's guru is here. The guru who initiated Bhagavan, he is physically here. The physical body which Bhagavan worshipped is here. Arunachala is here. That you are not able to see. You want some human being and get caught with him. The trouble for you and trouble for that person also. It's like a small water snake swallowing a big frog, trying to swallow a big frog. Both the snake also suffers, the frog also suffers. It can neither swallow, the frog can neither jump out. Like that, you get caught with some person, you give trouble to that person, and that person gives troubles to you. Only an impersonal person can give you the experience of impersonal self. A person who is also a person can only enslave you. It is not consciously, he is not doing that. But that is only thing that we can do. Any relationship, any contact can create problems. That is why you have to learn that art of seeing only that supreme guru in a person. You can have anyone as your guru. You can worship everyone as, you can have many gurus. This is a confusion which seekers have. You can have anyone you can worship as guru, but see only that supreme master and be concerned only with self-knowledge, not with what that guru does, what is his life, what is his personal details. No. Just like worshipping in a temple, worship and take the knowledge and go. Otherwise, you will give trouble to the guru, and guru also unknowingly will give trouble to you. So, that guru is Ishvara, Lord himself is guru. In Bhagavatam says, you are the guru, Lord, only guru. And you come through any human form, any form you come and give teaching. And if the disciple is genuine enough to take the teaching, he will get the result. He will be illumined. So, sakalamum vilungum kathiroliyinamana jalajamalarthi darunachala. Bhagavan says, Arunachala, you are the inner effulgence. With thy light,
make my inner lotus blossom. If that lotus blossoms, I know that it will swallow the mind, it will swallow the body, it will swallow the world, it will swallow everything that is non-self, and it will shine forth within me as I, as the infinite Brahman, the whole, that Purna. And once you know that Purna, you know that everything is Purna. You are Purna, the world is Purna. There is no one ignorant. Nothing other than whole can happen. There cannot be two infinite. If there is two infinite, one will make the other finite. Infinite means one. The moment you know the infinite, there is only one, no two. And that experiential wisdom makes you also infinite. Jnanena akashakalpena dharman yoga ganopamana jneya abhinnena sambuddhah tam vande dvipadam varam. Shankaracharya puts forth a verse in Gaudapada Karika. It's there in Gaudapada Karika, where the guru, who is this guru who is giving teaching? See, the guru has no senses, no mind. He is like the infinite space. And the knowledge he gives you is also like the infinite space. The moment you receive that knowledge, you will be infinite space. So, the teacher is the boundless space. The teaching is the boundless space. And the receiver is also is boundless. The transmission is boundless. One who transmits this knowledge and walks in the earth in his two legs, I worship him, says Gaudapada Karika. That is, with that infinite wisdom, he walks as a person, appearing as an embodied being. I worship him. Dvipadam varam, the greatest amongst men who walks the earth, is that enlightened being whose wisdom is infinite like the space. And when he looks at you, he looks at you as infinite space and transmits that knowledge, which transforms you as divisionless, whole, Purna. So all these 7 days, we had a very sacred communion, sacred experience of Bhagavan's presence, Aksharamana Malai. Last year and year before last, we started this session, and this is our third session, and we have reached only verse 25. So we will continue and see. And by the time, you have a lot of time to listen again and again. It is all available in the ashram site. And absorb it. And do self-inquiry. And worship Bhagavan with Aksharamana Malai. Our life will become complete, Purna. Arunaha chala Shiva. Arunachalashiva, Arunachalashiva, Arunachala, Arunachalashiva, Arunachalashiva, Arunachala, Arunachalashiva, 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 Arunachala, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala. Yato mamatma bhavasitvameva, tato na vachyam mamakinchitasti, yathata veshtam kurumam tathaiva,
ത്വാം ആത്മനാഥം രമണം ഭജാമി.